title of the message today is When You Fast and Pray. Someone say, I'm not afraid. Pinch your neighbor and say, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. So when you fast and pray. I'm going to begin in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 5 to 18. And I'm going to actually read this in the New King James Version. And when we get to the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to invite you to read it out loud with me. So we'll begin in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. When you fast and pray. Verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Let's read it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse 5 says, and when you pray. Would you please say that? When you pray. And then look at verse 16. It says, when you fast. Would you please say that? When you fast. And so we find out from the scripture that it's not if you pray or if you fast, it's when you pray and when you fast. Jesus had a clear expectation that we would fast and we would pray. Now, the heart of this passage is that he really wants us to understand what it's all about. It's not about religiosity. It's not about just going through the motions or a formula. It's really about your heart. And so in the first part, we can say that he demonstrates and tells us what the heart of prayer is all about, and then what the pattern of prayer is. There's much that we could say about that. But let me simply say that it's not for attention. When you pray, it's not for attention. It's not the hypocrites. It's not so that other people can think that you're spiritual. Now, I will say this. I do think that there's something powerful about public prayer. For example, I think it's powerful if you're at a restaurant and you pause and bow your head and pray. I think that's a good testimony to other people. I don't think that's hypocritical. I think hypocrisy is more when you're praying to make it sound like you're more spiritual and all of that. Jesus says, hey, avoid that. The heart of prayer is that you're really genuinely talking to the Lord and you're connecting with the Lord. So it's not for attention, but it's really to connect with the Lord. There's much we could say about the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer, and we won't take time to teach on that. But if you're new in the Lord and you're just new in your relationship with the Lord and talking to the Lord, at least you can begin with that. Read through that prayer. And then as you extrapolate on that, you'll find yourself really going to the depth. So Jesus talks about the heart of prayer and the pattern of prayer. And then I would just say that we need to realize there needs to be consistency in prayer. So prayer simply defined is you talking to the Lord. And so you don't have to have great eloquence. You just talk to the Lord, share your heart. But if you're wondering how to pray, start reading the Bible, start reading the Psalms, start reading how other people prayed in the Bible, and you'll catch a an understanding of what prayer is all about. But prayer is really just communicating. It's talking to the Lord and listening to Him. But there should be consistency in prayer. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray continually. Some translations say, pray without ceasing. Do you know it's possible to pray without ceasing? How would you do that? Well, you're always carrying on a conversation with the Lord in your heart and in your mind. No matter what's happening, you're dialoguing with the Lord. You're communicating with Him because He's real. He's a real person, and you have a vital, real relationship with the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what we underscore here, is that we can all have a personal and real relationship with the Lord. It's not about religion. It's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts, and it's not about a bunch of formulas. No, it's really about a relationship. And so prayer is out of relationship. And so he says, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray. And then we get to where he says, when you fast. Would you please say that out loud? Say, when you fast. In fact, go ahead and just pinch your neighbor and say, hey, when you fast. Say, when. Not just if, but when you fast. So there's a clear expectation, even from Jesus, that we would fast. So let me talk for a few moments about fasting with the right heart. And then I'll share with you some biblical fasts and how we can go about this. But we really want to set our hearts and our minds on a spiritual trajectory this year. And I found one of the best ways to begin to do that is by going into a season of praying and fasting. And as I develop this message, I think you'll catch the heart of it. So we need to fast with the right heart. This is important for us to mention. So first, to fast, when we say fasting biblically, we just mean to let go of an appetite in order that we can focus on God in a deeper way. So you're letting go of a hunger, of an appetite, so that you can focus on the Lord in a deeper way. Fasting biblically simply means to go without something, and it's usually food. So when you read about fasting in the scripture, it's usually food, but it means to go without something as a way of prioritizing spiritual focus. Now, we're going to see that there are some other kinds of fast, but typically it does involve going without food, and that's a hard thing to embrace, but it is scriptural and it is biblical. But we want to say this, that we don't fast as a religious work. That's really important. So what I mean by religiosity is you're not fasting to get God's approval. He loves you. He accepts you. You're not trying to achieve something by your fasting. I think what we do as humans, or those of us that maybe grew up in church, you know, we think that, okay, well, if I fast or pray a certain amount, then I'll receive this, or if I don't do this, then there won't be blessing. Some of that can be true, but I just think it's important to say that it's not just religious function. We're not doing something out of religiosity. We're really doing it out of devotion and out of a heart to just communicate and to have relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's really important for us to say. So we don't fast as a religious work. Rather, we fast in order to focus spiritually. Now, let me submit some reasons to you to fast. These are things that I really feel in my heart are important. These are reasons why I fast, and I want to submit them to you. So let me read to you Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. Here's what it says. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask Him for a safe journey for us and our children with all of our possessions. That's a great, great prayer and great direction. So he proclaims a fast. Notice this, it's to humble yourself. One of the things we'll realize is that a fast is a way of humbling yourself before the Lord. And to ask Him for a safe journey. Don't you want a safe journey for your life and for your children and for your possessions? And so as you're humbling yourself before the Lord, as you fast and pray, you're saying, God, I want a good journey. I want a safe journey, and I want to humble myself, realizing I can't do this without You. And so you set yourself, you posture your heart in humility before the Lord. So the first reason that I would submit for fasting is that it's a very strong way of humbling ourselves. I want to invite you to go to James chapter 4, and I'm going to read to us verses 4 to 10. James chapter 4, and I'll start with verse 4. Now, I'm going to read the entire passage so that we can see it in context, but it's really, fasting can be a way to humble ourselves and to purify ourselves. So verse 4 says this, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God?" Now, those are very, very strong words. But he's simply saying that, hey, if you love the world more than you love God, there's a strong problem. He calls that adultery, spiritual adultery. What God is after more than anything is your heart and your passion, your focus for Him, that you would love Him more than anything else in the world. If there's something that you love more than God, the Bible calls that idolatry. If there's something that gets in between you and your relationship with Jesus, that's idolatry. That could be career, that could be finances, that could be a relationship, it could be anything. Anything that gets between you and Jesus is an idol. And so these are strong words, but he's saying, you know what, friendship with the world can be adultery. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? So the Lord loves you so much, but he doesn't want you pouring out your heart and spending your time away from him. He wants all of you. Say amen to that. But he gives us more grace. Would you say that out loud? But he gives us more grace. Please say it again. But he gives us more grace. So he's being quite startling in what he's saying here, that friendship with the world, love of the world, can be like adultery. But then he's saying, hey, we've got God's grace. God's grace. God's grace. Because he loves us and pulls us to himself so much. But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so the road to success in Christianity is the road to humility, is humbling ourselves. And so I want to equate humility really with fasting. Fasting is a way of humbling ourselves. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Now let's pause for a moment because many of you might say, well, isn't that what Jesus did? Didn't he purify us? Yes, he did purify you. He purified you. And when you were born again, your spirit is perfect, but your heart isn't. Your mind isn't. And so that's your responsibility to wash your heart, to wash your mind, to choose to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And so I have found that fasting, and you'll see where I'm going with this, fasting humbles me, but it also helps purify me. Purify my motives, purify things that have maybe been vying for my attention, things that maybe haven't been pleasing to the Lord. And so it purifies us. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, can you see the tie here? He's saying that love, intense love and friendship with the world is in contradiction to love for God. He's not saying that you don't love people in the world. That's very, very different. But he's saying the philosophies of the world. He's saying the morality, immorality of the world. These are in contradiction to the kingdom of God. And so he said that could be like adultery. And then he says he says this very, very clearly that you need to be single-minded, not double-minded. I have found that fasting helps me to humble myself and to purify myself and to bring singular focus of pursuing the Lord. So purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, this next verse we don't really like. It's very sobering, but it's in the Bible. And he says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, quit being so flippant. Just be really careful. You know, we can go through life, and because life is so good and we have so many blessings in our life, that we're not being careful about our pursuit of the Lord and what is first in our lives. And so he's saying, hey, just sober yourself for a moment here and really be very, very careful. So change even your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom in this context. And then he says in verse 10, and this is very powerful, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So I found that fasting really helps me to humble myself. Because when you go without the very thing that you need to survive, what you're saying is, God, I need you even more than food. I know that you provide for me. You're going to provide everything for me. And so I humble myself knowing that you're going to provide and you are going to lift me up in due time. So I found that fasting humbles me and it also helps purify me. So let's develop this just a little bit more. The second reason that I would encourage you to fast is to deny the flesh and our sinful nature. Why would you fast? To deny your flesh and your sinful nature. Now, what we're going to see in the next verse is there's a clear tie between your flesh and your sinful nature. The Bible refers to your flesh as not just this temporal body that you live in, but the Bible equates your flesh to the sinful nature. So let me show you that. In Romans, we'll look at Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read this in two different versions so that you can see how it can be translated, how flesh is equated to the sinful nature. This is Romans 8, 5-6 out of the New Living Translation. To those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So here Paul says that he refers to your sinful nature, that whatever your mind is set on, that's what's going to control you. If your mind is set on the sinful nature, that's the direction you're going to go. If your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, that's the direction that you're going to go. Now, listen to how it's translated in the ESV, Romans 8, 5-6. For those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Can you see where human sinful nature is swapped out for the flesh? And I think there's a clear understanding that there's so much tied to our carnal desires. And so many people just, whatever their passions are in the flesh, they allow that to dictate them. Some people, it's with their emotions. Whatever they feel, that's the way they do. Or whatever they desire, that's the way they do. God says, you know what, that's not the way I want you to live. I want you to find out what my will is and what is pleasing to me and go in that direction, even if it's contrary to your flesh, even if it's contrary to your sinful nature. And so when you fast, you're humbling yourself. You're saying, I can't do this on my own. I can't live life on my own. And it purifies you. There's really an extraction that takes place because you get away from the things of the world. But then secondly, it really helps you to deny your flesh. And so when you're denying eating, you can see how closely related it is to denying the flesh. Can you see that? And don't misunderstand. We're not saying that this body is evil. This body's good. God made this body. If we had time, we could look at church history. There were people who said that. We're not saying that the body is evil. God bless us with our bodies. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. But in this regard, when we equate the sinful nature to flesh, you can see how the flesh can pull you down. So fasting is a way of saying, you know what? I'm going to deny my flesh, which is going to help me deny carnal and sinful desires. It's really, really powerful. And so first thing is to humble ourselves, purify ourselves. Second thing is to deny our flesh and our sinful nature. The third reason that I would submit to you is to bring spiritual focus in our lives. So I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, and I'll start with verse 16. Now keep in mind this idea of the sinful nature, this idea of the flesh. Verse 16, so I say live or walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature or the flesh. Again, it depends what translation they use, either flesh or sinful nature. So if you live or walk by the Spirit, you're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh or the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Now that would describe many people. The things that you do want to do, you have trouble doing. The things you don't want to do, you end up doing. I don't want to lose my temper, but I tend to lose my temper. I want to pray more. I want to seek the Lord, but I just can't seem to discipline myself to do it. We all understand that wrestling and that battle that takes place. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. There's so much I could say here, but let me say, in whatever you do, and I'll come back to this, be led of the Spirit. This isn't religiosity. This isn't the law. This is being led by the Holy Spirit. And so that's important. Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. So any sex outside of marriage, he's saying, is immoral. It's wrong. Impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. There's a difference between being angry and going into a fit of rage. Selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I'm not going to take time to explain every single one of those. I'll just let the word speak for itself. But these are the acts of the flesh. These are the acts of the sinful nature. Now, here's what I've discovered. When you fast and pray, you begin to get victory over those things, and it sets you on a path toward the fruit of the Spirit, which is the next thing that he talks about. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So there's so much that we could say here. But again, let me just simply say that when you deny the flesh, you start getting victory over these things, and it sets you on a course toward the fruit of the Spirit. This is really, really powerful. Sarah will tell you that since I really started a lifestyle of fasting, I've become a much more patient man. I've become a much more patient man because there's nothing fast about fasting. It's very slow. But what happens is you begin to deny the flesh and some of those things that Paul listed, and instead of being impatient, unkind, being struggling with habits, whatever they might be, instead of that, you start getting victory over that because you're denying the flesh, and it sets you on a path toward the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace, faithfulness, kindness, so many wonderful things. So you deny the flesh and you start seeing the fruit of the Spirit operate in your life. This is a strong reason to fast, that you go from the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. The fourth reason that I would submit to you today is to get in tune with the Lord. So you humble yourself and purify yourself. That's the first reason that I would submit to fasting. Then you deny your flesh and the sinful nature. You bring spiritual focus in your life by saying no to the flesh and yes to the Lord. And fourthly, to get in tune with the Lord. Listen to Psalm 125 and verse 4. This is a New Living Translation. O Lord, do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune with you. Don't you want to have hearts that are in tune with the Lord, to hear his voice? And I found that when you quiet the flesh and you quiet the things of the world, your ears, you can be much more in tune to the things of the Spirit. Listen to Revelation 3:22 out of the NLT. Anyone who hears, or anyone with ears to hear, must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So do you want to have an ear to hear, to listen to what the Lord is saying? And that's very interesting because he addresses all seven churches in Revelation. Every single time he uses this phrase, Those who have ears to hear, if you want ears to hear, listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to you. Understand what he's saying to the church. So I found that fasting and praying really gets me in tune to the Lord and to the things of the Spirit. It sharpens the frequency. It gets me right into, instead of things being garbled, I'm starting to hear the Lord much more clearly because I'm not so distracted by the things of the world and the flesh. Amen, church? Look to your neighbor and say, I hope you're still here. I hope you're still, tracking. Hope you're still tracking. Okay. Now, let me give you some types of fast, and I'm going to go through this a little rapidly so that we can just define them. The first one, as you study the scripture, the first one is an absolute fast. And that means that you go without food or without water. Now, I would caution you on that because the scriptural pattern is really 3 days. So I usually the maximum is 3 days going without food and without water. That's a tough one. You're going to probably really feel that physically. You might have to fight through that. Unless God gives you a lot of grace, there might be a lot of headaches and body aches. But listen to Esther 4 and verse 16. She was in a crisis. But you might be in a... It's usually when somebody's in a crisis that they will do this. But you might be in a crisis where eating's not even a problem because you're feeling such a crisis. And then God gives you grace. But it says, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. It's what happened to the Apostle Paul when he got saved. The Bible says in Acts 9:9, for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So that's the first kind of fast. We see an absolute fast. No eating, no liquid, no water, nothing for 3 days. Again, the maximum is usually about fast. I've seen some people go longer, but I would just ask you to use a lot of wisdom on that. Then a normal fast, that's just liquids, liquids only. It can be just water, but it can also be other kinds of liquids. Matthew 4, 1 to 2, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And so it's a pretty unusual thing to go all 40 days, especially on water, but even just on liquids. And so what we're encouraging you to do, some of us have done that, but I'm just asking the church to set aside 6 weeks, 40 days. And so you might want to go all the way, but you might want to pray about just 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, 10 days. But as we're all doing different things and we have a season of fasting, God is going to do something very, very special. In this regard, where it happens to be 40 days, but the idea here is that there's no food. It's just liquid. So I would encourage you, however long you're going to fast, to drink a lot of liquids. Drink a lot of water. Your body needs water. But you can also do juices. I find that juices help. In fact, we have some resources in the bookstore that you can study this out. But as you take juices, that helps in the detoxification process. So if you started fasting, and I find that if I ate a lot of sugar and a lot of cookies over the Christmas season, and then I go into a fast, I really feel it. I might get a lot of headaches or just body aches. What's happening, don't be surprised by that. Your body's just detoxing. That's what's happening. But if you drink juice, it actually takes that edge out. So some of my favorite juices are carrot juice. And you can find some just really natural organic carrot juice or vegetable juice, something like that. It can really help take away the headaches and the body aches. And then I still drink coffee. That's a gift from the Lord. I drink it black. And don't judge me on that. I'm just being Spirit-led. Some of you might say, well, why? I have actually fasted from coffee on a very rare occasion, if the Lord says that. Some people drink tea, but the point is just be Spirit-led, right? And so you're fasting from food, but liquids help. If it's just water, if God leads you, may he give you grace. But I find personally that it's really hard to keep mental focus. Sometimes I take a lot of power naps and just try to preserve my energy. But drinking juices and soup broths and things like that can really help carry you for the long haul and keep your mind in the game. So that's a normal fast. Then we have partial fasts. This would be only certain food groups. Listen to Daniel 1:12. Please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Daniel 10, verse 3. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. I'm not sure why he didn't put any lotions on. I'm going to encourage you, go ahead and take a shower. Jesus said, you don't have to let everyone know that you're fasting. Some of you were wondering if you fast anyway, because we wonder why you don't take lotions. I'm joking. It's a joke. But this is doing a partial fast, certain food groups. So the biblical example is just vegetables and water, but it could be anything. You might say, you know what, I'm not doing any sugar. Many people, we call it a Daniel fast now from the scriptures. The example is vegetables and water, but many people do that as salads now or add fruit. I'm trying to say fruit and nuts. Nuts and fruit. Nuts and fruits makes it a little more interesting. So you can do a partial fast from only certain food groups. You might just want to eat meat. You might not want to eat meat, but just be spirit-led in that. But you know, you still get the benefits of fasting, even if it's a partial fast. And so just be spirit-led and pray. Another fast, and this is big, is a diverse fast. And that would be from other things, okay, like entertainment. In fact, I would say that it might be more beneficial for you to fast from entertainment than even food. Might be harder. Daniel 6, verse 18. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without any entertainment being brought to him. So I wonder if you would be courageous enough, take a look at your phone and see how much time you spend on it. You might be shocked how much time is spent on the phone and how much time is spent on entertainment. Again, there's nothing wrong with these things, just like there's nothing wrong with food, right? But it can become an appetite. And so some of you might really want to pray about taking a break from social media, taking a break from entertainment, taking a break from those things that really take a lot of your time. Say, you know what, I'm just going to take a break from that, and instead I'm going to focus on the Lord. This could actually be more powerful than even fasting food. And so pray about it. Some of us might really want to consider that. You'll be glad you did. So maybe take a break from those things. And instead of so much social media, how about entering into the New Testament reading plan? How about doing a little more reading? I'm a little concerned about how people don't read. I think, look, just because we have a lot of media, don't stop reading. Please don't stop reading. And so we're trying to make it as easy as possible. I mean, for those of you that tell me that you don't read, God is trying to make this as easy as possible for you. So now you can listen to it on YouTube. You can listen to it, an audio of the Bible. He's trying to make, you are blessed to live in this century. Okay. Now, having said that, I still think there's something about reading and with my eyes and letting this burn into my heart and my mind and into my soul. And so you might not be a reader, but I would encourage you, this would be the one thing that maybe you force yourself to do is to try to read. But again, God's trying to make it easy. So even if you listen to the Word. So this would be a diverse fast from other things. And then the fourth one I want to mention is a corporate fast. That's when we do this together. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, the fifth one. I said, we've got absolute fast, normal fast, partial, diverse. But a corporate fast, as a group or a congregation. So 2 Chronicles 23, alarmed Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. What he was saying is, let's do this all together. I'll give you another one. This is Joel 1:14. Declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. This is when we all come together. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord and cry out to the Lord. And so I've just felt led in my heart that we start our year by coming together, fasting and praying. I try not to be legalistic, but I try to say, you know what, let's encourage ourselves to set ourselves on this path. And I think those of you that have journeyed with us on this, I think we've had a lot of great testimonies that you can say, wow, I was really able to focus on the Lord in a deeper and in a more intimate way. So those are some types of fasts that the Scripture talks about. Now, let me just say a couple of cautions. I would say that if you're expecting a baby, maybe don't fast. Think about that. But I would say, yeah, you could do a diverse fast. You could do maybe even a partial fast, but be spirit-led. But you need to feed baby, right? That would be one example. Another example would be if you're on a medication that really requires you to have food in your stomach, then be cautious. But again, you could do a different kind of a fast, a partial fast. And actually, I know of people that have been healed because they did start fasting and they were able to start weaning themselves off of certain medication. But just use wisdom and caution on that. So we want to invite you to be a part of the fast. Now, what are the rewards of the fast? The rewards are phenomenal. Okay, physically, and this could, even if you do a one-day fast, and I will say this, train yourself to fast. I started with one day. I started with one meal, then one day, and I stretched it to 3 days, and then 7, and then 10, and then 21. I hit 21. I thought, man, I might as well just keep going to 40. But you can train yourself. And I've shared this before, but fasting is really like a double-edged sword. You know, on the one hand, there's incredible benefit, but it's never been easy for me. It's always been a battle. I'll feel some grace, but there's always this battle. It's not necessarily easy. But the benefits are wonderful. You know, so physically, you're just going to be a lot healthier. You'll feel a lot better. You'll detox a lot of the inflammation that maybe you're feeling in your body. Aches and joints are just going to begin to leave your body. You're going to feel a lot more healthy. You might lose some weight. That's never a bad thing. For some, maybe. Some of you maybe need to gain weight, but some of us might need to lose some weight. That's not a bad thing. You'll feel better. So physically, you're going to feel better. Listen to Daniel 1 and verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So you're going to feel better physically. And I can share that, man, as I have fasted, I felt so much better physically when I have fasted. But even more importantly, you feel better spiritually. Spiritually, you're going to be more in tune with the Lord. You're going to feel sharper. You're going to sense that intimacy with the Lord. And sometimes you don't feel that in the middle of the fast, but it can be after the fast. Sometimes you're just plowing through in the middle of the fast. But when you're done, you'll feel the spiritual benefits. Listen to Daniel 1:17, and this would be the promise that you could pray into. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Wow, don't you want more knowledge, more understanding? Don't you want to be able to hear what the Lord is saying? I want to encourage you, as you fast, whether it's food or whether it's something else, and you focus on the Lord, you're going to be more spiritually in tune with the Lord. Amen, church? And so fasting and praying together as a church, it's motivating. It's inspiring. I find that I have a hard time fasting alone. But when I'm fasting with brothers and sisters and we're on that path together, it's much more motivating. And to be honest with you, it keeps me accountable. Because when I'm alone, I have broken so many fasts. I don't know about you, but I have had so many good intentions. I'm going to fast a few days. And then inevitably, Sarah makes my favorite meal. Or inevitably, somebody invites me out to lunch. Or inevitably, somebody brings a snack to church or something. You know, I have broken so many fasts alone, but it sure helps when we're doing it together. Because I know, I'm like, oh man, I can't break this fast. I gotta power through this because the church family is expecting me, especially if I sign up for the For the point person, then I better fast, right? But I really want to invite you to just think and pray about that and set your heart on a course. Get in agreement with your family. You can do. We would always do this as a family. We'd tell our kids, okay, we're taking a break from movies or certain things. We're going to play games. Whatever it might be, you can do this even as a family. But the Lord will bless you. Amen? So let's stand to our feet and let's be praying and thinking about that.